Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his great sacrifice on the cross, dying for our sins so we all may be saved and brought into glory with thee. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word. We ask that this may be beneficial, this message, for your purpose somehow. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I was asked to give an update on the gospel outreach that I've been involved in. So I wrote down some things that have had the biggest effect on my heart. Now, I got to say, just once I wish I could come up here and give you all a good report and tell you about all the people I've seen get saved and come to Christ and how I see in life being spread, but it's just not that way. I hate to say it's just not that way. It's not what I'm going through out there. It's not what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing actually is a lot of spiritual darkness in this city, in the state, this country, even in this world. There's a lot of spiritual darkness. I say every week it feels like I walk through the lion's den every week, and then by the time I get here, it's a whole different setting, and it's a whole different thing altogether. Believe me, it stirs up my stomach by the weekend hit. When after all the different people I've seen and try to bring the message to, it bothers me quite a bit. And this makes me nervous up here, but I'm just giving you an update on what I've been seeing and different things that have been on my heart. So it gets quite overwhelming with all the spiritual darkness in this world. So let's begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God has commissioned all of us to spread the gospel message to this lost world, whom the God of this world, we know is Satan himself, has blinded the minds of them. Satan is also known as the prince of the power of the air. He has blinded the minds of people. Jesus said this was going to happen. Jesus said this has happened in John chapter 3. Verse 19 through 21. Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or seen plainly in God. Men love darkness. And we know Jesus is the light of the world. So what he's saying is that they don't want him. They want the spiritual darkness. They want to stay in that spiritual darkness. Now, sometimes it's obvious that people are in the spiritual darkness. See it a lot here in Worcester. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, or a slave to sin. Anybody who willingly commits sin No matter how big or small, on a habitual basis, they are a slave to that sin. And sometimes it's obvious, you can see when somebody's chasing this sin every day. You can't reach that person with the gospel message as they're going to chase after some sin. But if you can get them later on when they're calmed down and they have a moment of clarity, they can think about something, then you can insert a gospel verse and an invitation verse for them to come to Christ, and it might sink in later. But you can't reach somebody when they're chasing that sin. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can deliver us from the power of darkness. And it is through his redeeming blood that was shed on the cross when he died for our sins. So Christ is the Savior, and the church is called to preach the message of salvation to people, to this lost world. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verse 12, 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. First, we've got to be delivered from the power of darkness before we can use the armor of God that he provides for us, a defense against this wicked world. But this also emphasizes the fact there is a spiritual wickedness in high places that we're battling against in this world. And a lot of the people have been comfortable in the spiritual darkness. Now, sometimes it's not as obvious when somebody's in spiritual darkness. They may seem all right. You look at them, everybody kind of looks, the same, but we don't know a lot of times when people are in spiritual darkness. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Anybody dead in trespasses and sins, they're not saved. They're dead in trespasses and sins to God. Where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Only Christ can make us alive to God. If we don't come to Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And unfortunately, most of the world out there is dead in trespasses and sins. You can't tell a lot of times because they look like everybody else. They just, you could be in a nice place and it could be a nice environment, but you don't realize that the people all in there are dead in trespasses and sins. Even though it may be comfortable for you, a comfortable environment, people all are in there are dead in trespasses and sins because they haven't come to Christ. Now, some people won't even give you a chance to share the gospel message with people because they just don't want to hear anything about it. They'll just say no. But how do we know unless we try to share the gospel message with people? So we got to at least try in order to find out that they don't want it. Now, they don't want it. Sometimes people, they don't want it so much that they'll even stop you from sharing it with somebody else. I was in the common one day, and I was sharing a message with the younger generation in their 20s, some guys, right? I'm sharing a message with them, and they seem to be interested, and it's going all right. Here comes the lady. Oh, these are my kids. They don't want anything to do with that. She pulled them away. No, go. Get away from my kids. And she loves the darkness so much that she doesn't even want her kids to hear the message of salvation. Not even giving them a chance to listen and make their own choice. People love the darkness so much. They just don't want the light to interfere with their little dark realm that they're in. Now, there's a lot of people out there who won't even consider the message of a Savior because they have already believed some kind of lie. They already got some lie fixed in their mind that they won't even consider the Savior because they're believing a lie. Now, in this case, I've heard everything from some strange dream at night. Some angel told me that I was going to heaven, or some person told me I was going to heaven, all the way to some religious ritual works that people are doing. And we know God's word contradicts each one of these things, but they don't give you a chance to bring in God's word to contradict what the lie they're believing. But if you have a chance, use God's word to try to penetrate through that hardened heart. A lot of times our words don't help at all. You could talk to somebody for an hour and it may not make a difference on what they think. And sometimes it might even build up their own defense mechanism inside and get them more hardened in that lie they believe. So insert God's word when possible. And it may not have much of an effect on them right then and there, but maybe at night or something when they're thinking about it later on, it might come to their mind. So I would like to just try to encourage people not only to share the gospel message, but an invitation verse that goes along with it. Now these two are good examples right here. You know, Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Try to insert God's word. You may only have that opportunity just to say a couple of verses and that, and then they shut you off. But try to insert God's word when possible. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Use God's word to try to penetrate through that hardened heart and the lies they're believing. Now, come across a group of people, it's just happening over again, you know, and trying to preach the message of salvation, going to heaven. And they'll tell me, oh, you don't know, nobody knows for sure where you're going to go. You can't tell where you're going, or, you know, they're trying to tell you can't tell where you're going. Only God knows that. And we know that that is not true. You can choose where you want to go. You can either choose Christ or you can reject him. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Let's read verse 11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The life, eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that have the Son has life. He that have not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Sounds like a decision right there, doesn't it? You can either, believing is the trusting on, you can either trust on Jesus Christ and have eternal life, or you could not trust on Jesus Christ and not have life. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him," or remaineth on him. That's a choice right there. You can choose to trust Christ and have eternal life, or you can choose to reject Christ and have the wrath of God remain upon you. Now, we all know the wrath of God remaining on you ends up in the lake of fire where you're tormented for all eternity, every moment for all eternity. And there's no way out. Now, my heart also goes out for people who say, one example. I heard a lady say the other day, she says, "Well, I'm not dying today, and I'm in gospel mode." So I'm like, well, if you died today, where would you go? And I've already shared the gospel message with her. And she says, well, she looked at me and went, "Heaven? I guess heaven." I said, "So how do you know? What makes you think you're going to heaven?" They're hoping so. She says, "Oh, I go to church. Oh, I believe in God. I go to church every time." Sometimes you just, even if you reveal the truth to people, they still don't want it. But I try again to reveal the truth to them. Maybe it will sink in later. Maybe when they're at home at night, when they're thinking, "Oh, what did that guy say to me about going to heaven?" And maybe I got it wrong. Maybe they'll give something to the Holy Spirit to work with to help that person come to Christ. I hope so. I think so. But I come across this a lot. I hope so. I think so. I should be. Well, that is something I'm not going to gamble with. You know, I'm not going to bet on "I hope so." There was a time in my life when I was hoping I'd go to heaven. And I knew deep down inside, if I died, I may not be there. Now it's like, I can't go along with "I hope so." I got to try to share the message of salvation with people. And I'm trying to encourage other people to share the message of salvation with people. Bring Christ, bring the Savior to people. Now, a lot of times you can't tell with these people until you actually find out where they stand. You know, and not everybody who says they're saved or they're going to heaven is going to heaven. People will say, they see what I'm doing, and they say, "Oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, I'm all set," you know, and they walk on by. And sometimes I just get curious, "Excuse me, how do you know you're going to heaven? I'm just curious." And they come by and they'll tell me something. I heard everything. They'll give you like a long list of things. I heard all kinds of things why they think they're going to heaven. "Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I'm involved with all these rituals. Oh, I was baptized." I hear everything about why people think they're going to heaven. And they say they're going to heaven. They have believed some lie at some point in their time in life. And you can't really tell them with your own words all the time that that's not right, because it just hardens their own lie. But if you can reveal the truth to them in a verse from the Bible that contradicts that lie, bring the truth to people. Ephesians chapter 2, for example, "For by grace are you saved." The grace of God, you have been saved through faith. That's faith in Christ, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's going to be no boasting in heaven where, "Oh, I did all this, I did this." No, that is pride. And that was the reason why Satan got kicked out of heaven, because of pride. And besides, God tells us from the beginning of the Old Testament, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You may not be able to tell somebody that boldly and that hard on somebody, but if you can bring a verse to them nice and kindly, let them hear a verse from God's word, what contradicts that lie, it may have an impact on them later. I mean, who knows how long it's going to be while we're still here on this earth, but try to share the gospel message using God's word, not our words, because our words may make it worse, and it's happened to me, make it worse. I'm going to give one example, using God's word to convict the heart and bring people to the clarity. I'm right down here on Country Club Boulevard one day, down there where the people, where there's a lot of people happen to be at the bottom of the hill there, and I'm preaching salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ about going to heaven. And here comes this one guy. Oh, it's a nice day. What brings you out here on this nice day? What's going on? I said, well, I'm preaching the message about going to heaven. And he's, oh, I'm going to heaven. Don't bother with me. And he's walking by. Excuse me, how do you know that you're going to heaven? He says, well, I do all these things. Oh, this such and such pastor is my pastor. I've been going to church since I was a little kid, and I've been doing all these things. So I'm trying to talk to the guy, and I'm trying to find out where is the sin problem. How does that, you know, I'm trying to reason with the guy. So that still doesn't take care of the sin problem. We have sins that need to be forgiven. Only the Savior can save us from those sins, and I'm trying to express it to this guy. But, you know, we're on talking terms at this point. And he just starts rerunning all the list again. Oh, you should. Do you know such and such pastor? He's my pastor, and I've been doing this. And I can see that it's starting to ruin the area where other people could be, right? So I realized I got to move on. So I just said, Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where he is. And I just said, oh, have a good day, and I walked away. Now I'm getting down the street. I hear the same guy yelling, I ain't going to hell. I ain't going to hell. You're going to hell. I never mentioned hell. All I was trying to do was address the sin problem in our life. I never mentioned hell, but I hear him yelling. Now he's arguing with the Holy Spirit and telling me what he came up with as an answer. I ain't going to hell. Maybe you're going to hell. And as I'm taking a corner, I can see out of the corner of my eye, I ain't going to hell. You're going to hell. And he's listing off all the things that he did and what he's doing. I just kept on going. I said, well, I got to change locations now. It's the word of God that penetrates the heart. People who are convicted. I meet a lot of people who are convicted of their sin, but they avoid the truth. They totally avoid the truth. They don't want anything to do with it. Sometimes they're mad at God. Or why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? And they're mad at God for some reason. So they won't even consider the truth. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Out of the King James Version, verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The NIV version kind of fits a little better on this scenario. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sometimes people have just been so worked up about sin and the consequences of sin that has happened in their life and the situation they're in, and like, why did God let this happen? They're so loaded down by sin and the consequences of sin that they're just mad. They're angry at God. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Just try to come to the Lord. Just see that he wants to heal you. He wants to fix all this. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to save your soul. But you got to come to him and trust him. Now, people, there's another group of people who say they've been so bad that they don't think God will forgive them. Some of the hardened people out there, oh, I've killed all these people, or I've done this, all these bad things I've done, and listing off of things, don't tell me about that, God ain't going to save me. No, God will save you. Christ died for your sins on the cross. Just give me a minute to show you where it says it in God's word. Sometimes they don't even want to hear about it. Sometimes they'll just give you that minute to share a gospel verse with them. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter how you have thought about God, if you will just come to Christ and try to trust in Him, come to Him for the forgiveness of sins, He will forgive you. You won't be turned away. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. If you will come to Christ, confessing your guilty self, a guilty sinner, coming to Him to be saved, you will be saved. Next group is the unfamiliar message. There's a large group of people out there who really don't know the gospel message. They don't know anything about it. It's totally new to them. It's like a foreign language. It's the younger generation coming up now. You see them out there. Instead of they're just doing things and getting in trouble on the streets and stuff, they don't know about the gospel message. So I try to share it with them as easy and plainly as possible. But it's unfamiliar to them, especially around Christmas and Easter. I use the birth of the Savior and the importance of why He was born and what the importance is. And the resurrection, how important it is. He had victory over sin and death. God was satisfied with His Son's judgment on the cross. And just as He rose in a glorious new body, we shall have glorious new bodies, having victory over sin and death through Christ. You try to, even if you can just share any part of the message with somebody, it's just, I can see it in their face, they're like, wow. You can see that they're just amazed because they never heard it before. Now, if I had to rely on my mom and dad to teach me the way to heaven, I wouldn't have got it. I would have died in my sins and probably be in hell right now. So it's an unfamiliar message to people. And a lot of times, these are the people who will give you the longest time to explain the gospel message to them. Don't be surprised if they don't want to be saved right there, even because it's so new to them. They don't want to be saved right now. They haven't had time to digest it yet. And the Holy Spirit really hasn't really used it to impact them yet. But I'm hoping maybe later on, the nighttime, or another day, when they realize the truth, and then they can come to Christ to be saved. But the unfamiliar message, anytime anybody will give you ear to hear the message, please just give them as much as you can. You can tell when you're losing them. But give them the important facts, so later on they can be saved. Now there's people out there who believe the gospel message, but they're not saved. And this is the group that really, that kind of stumps me the most, I got to say. They believe the gospel message. I can understand all the other aspects of the reason why not. Even a lot of times I've been through those different areas in my life. But people who believe the gospel message and are not saved. And at one time I was that person. They believe, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins on the cross. He rose again from the dead. Yes, and He is the only way to heaven. Savior, the one who saves. He's the only way to heaven. You believe that? Sometimes I go over, and I'm trying to go over it again to check off all the boxes to see if they believe the whole truth. Oh, yes, I believe that. And they'll even say it themselves. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for my sins. He rose again. You know, let's say it a little bit slower. Do you think He's the only way to heaven? Yes, I think He's the only way to heaven. They'll say it, but they're not saved. You can believe the truth and not be saved. Sometimes that's the hardest part here in this country, is believing the truth of the gospel message. Why aren't they saved? There wasn't a conversion in their heart. Matthew chapter 18. You got to make it your own. You got to take that gospel message and make it your own. You got to receive the free gift of salvation. You got to receive Christ. Matthew chapter 18. Now there's a lot that can be said about this chapter, but just trying to emphasize the point, let's go to verse 3. And Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There's got to be a conversion. It's a childlike faith, not becoming as a child, but it's childlike faith that Christ is talking about. Having that childlike faith, making the conversion real in your heart. You believe Christ is the Savior. He is the one that gets you to heaven. He is the one who died for your sins on the cross. Yes, are you willing to trust Him as your Savior? Okay, yes, I see my need to be saved. I will trust Christ as my Savior. But the scriptures are very clear, receiving Christ as your Lord, repentance from sin. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Receiving Christ as your Lord. That means repenting from sins, repenting from going astray and going off and doing things your own way and trusting Christ as the Lord of your life. If you will trust Christ as the Lord of your life and your Savior, yes, Lord and Savior, this is what has to happen in your heart. If you will trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. I just want to emphasize one point on this trusting Christ as your Lord. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, but I just want to point out first, Romans chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You can follow the devil in sin to the lake of fire, or you can follow Christ in his righteousness to eternal life. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another decision. You can either choose Christ as your Lord and Savior for eternal life, or you can reject Him and have eternal death, which results in the lake of fire. The conversion's got to be made. Somebody's got to make it real. You've got to receive the gift and make it real. Make it your own. Maybe they just haven't seen their need of a Savior yet. Maybe they just haven't had the fear of going to hell yet. But you got to at least try to emphasize the facts to people and what has to happen. Yes, you do got to receive the free gift. You got to make it your own. Now, I'm calling out for the church here to help spread the gospel message in this world. Because there is such a shortage of people spreading the gospel message. Even just taking one tract, and when you go inside of the store or a cashier, just leave a tract at the register. If they take it and throw it away, maybe somebody else will come and see it. They'll be more useful to take these tracts and put them into this dark world than sitting on that board not being used. And I want to make sure that we keep that board full. So let's coming to a closing here, just try to encourage people to spread the gospel message. From the first verse we read, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to just close on a happy note here. One day I'm out in the city spreading the gospel message, and I had to do blood work, so I go in and do the blood work, and I kind of take it as a little break to go inside of a hospital and get the air conditioning, get a drink of water, maybe use the bathroom, sit down, get the blood work done. So I walk in, and they sent me to the waiting room. As I'm going into the waiting room, it's a different waiting room than I'm used to, right? So I go to sit down in there, and I see all the chairs are pretty much full, and I'm looking for a spot to sit down. And usually I do one-on-one discreet gospel sharing with people in there. And I'll sit down in a friendly location to spread the gospel message, and I look in there, and I say, oh, boy, they're all just all sad faces, hardened people. It just looked like a tough crowd to begin with them, you know. People are in there for some sort of stressful reason or harm. And I look at it, so, oh, this doesn't look good at all. And I'm in gospel mode, and I'm trying to go in, share the gospel message, and this is my break time, really. And I look around, it's all tough. I find one seat over here in the distance. I'm like, oh, now I'm all closed off in a dark corner away from everybody. So this ain't going to be easy at all. So I go to sit down in the chair, and I look over. I see one lady sitting in the back with a red hat on. It says, I love Jesus. So I go to sit down, and I look at the hat. I say, I see your hat. I say, I love Jesus. I say, I love Jesus too. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Oh, I praise the Lord for saving me, right? I was nervous to begin with. I was nervous, but I'm like, wow, the Lord's telling me, just break it open and do it. So I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. And here I am expecting to get all kinds of frowns and people laughing at me or something. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm just doing it for the glory of the Lord anyway. So I'm just saying, I love Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He died for my sins. He's taken me to heaven. So I sit down, and I want to see what kind of reaction I got. If there was any bite on anybody, if I could just follow up with it, right? So I sit down. Another lady said, the lady with the hat on says, oh, I love Jesus too. He's my Lord and Savior too. She's agreeing with me as I'm sitting down. Now I'm sitting down and it gets a little quiet. And I'm like, well, no. And another lady says, oh yeah, she says, I love Jesus too. He's my Lord and Savior. And I hear somebody else say, oh yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior too. Kind of a late call. He's my Lord and Savior too. And that was the one that I thought was the hardest one to approach, right? So I said, you know, I'm glad to hear that. And Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, them shall I confess before my Father in heaven. She says, yep, Matthew 10:32. I'm like, wow, I'm like, I'm impressed. You know it like that. I says, you might, and I'm there. I'm looking for an excuse to open the Bible, right? And I'm like, do you mind if I check that to see if you're right? Because I'm impressed with that number, right? She says, go ahead, you'll see it. So I'm like, okay, let's go to Matthew. I pull out my Bible. I go to Matthew 10:32. Let's check it out. Matthew 10:32. Let's see. 10:32. So now I'm sitting in the waiting room, bringing out my Bible right here. I got it balanced up. And I got the red letters. Okay, Jesus says, now I'm preaching in this dark environment, right? Yes, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'm like, wow, you're right. Confessing Christ right here before men, right here in this room. I said, that'll be good for you. When you get to heaven, that will be recorded. Now somebody else comes up and says, I hope I go to heaven. Says, you know, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shall go to heaven too. You know, now I have an opportunity to preach the gospel message here. And I thought it was just going to be a cold environment. Like, oh, you can't know it. Just relax and be quiet. But no, all of a sudden I got the Bible open, and now I'm preaching out the gospel message in this waiting room, right? Just because she said, I want to go to heaven too. I said, yeah, hope I go. Well, you can go. You can be sure to go. And I can show you right here when the Bible is open. So she's like, I hope I go. I said, I'll trust Jesus, right? I hear him say another one. Said, okay, now we've got a couple more bites. I'll trust Jesus. That sounds good. Now the nurse comes in, right? She comes in, and no lie, she comes in and she goes, wow, what happened in here? She says, boy, it's like night and day. I came in here last time. There was a bunch of long faces everywhere, and everybody's happy. And everybody, what's going on? She said, what's going on? And the one with the hat says, oh, we were just talking about going to heaven. And the nurse says, well, I hope I go to heaven too. She grabs one of the ladies and leaves. So, okay, let's try to make sure she gets the gospel message before I go. Just like she said that, it's like night and day. She says, it's just like night and day in here. It's why I came in here last time. You're all long faces. Now I come in, everybody's all happy. And she's talked about going to heaven. Now, I'm not even doing the preaching now. Somebody else is, right? So I just want to say, sometimes we think that it may be a bad situation or it may not be a friendly situation. We don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. So just sometimes just try. People like to hear good news. They like to hear things good about God. Christ died for your sins, yes, and that's all it takes. Christ died for your sins. If you will trust him, you can be saved. Let them think about that when they leave. So that seems to be the update here. Jesus says in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. May we all be encouraged to spread the gospel message. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for thy word. We thank you for thy Son, our Savior, our Lord and Savior. Father, continue to bless this day. Bless the gospel outreach tonight in the park. And may you help us all to spread the gospel message. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for our salvation. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.